who would seek to love a thorn is all the world has to give. And why did it have to be a heavy cross he was made to bear? And why did they nail his feet and hands? His love would have held him there. It was a cross, for on a cross a thief was supposed to pay. And Jesus had come into the world to steal every heart away. Yes, Jesus had come into this world to steal every heart away.
Well, I see that I saw Elder Marcano's sister back there taking a video of him. They're a very talented family, and we'll be asking her to sing again soon. Amen. And Elder Marcano obviously has some other talents besides teaching Sabbath school. Amen. And reminds me of taking elementary voice at City College. And when you first start, and I could tell listening to him, anytime he wants to, we'll include him in the musical lineup. Amen. Just get a few more reps. At this time, though, we will hear from another side of him, in his from Elder Marcano, and in his sermon. Why? Because of more.
Isn't working? You guys hear me? Yeah, that's good. I usually don't sing. I sing in the shower, but I can tell people I can only sing songs that touch my heart, right? That one touches my heart, and my sister's here. It's interesting that praying for that week. And I was saying, I should invite my sister. But I'm like, no, maybe she won't come. Or she's doing something else, and it's interesting how God works, amen? I always tell people, if you want more, come to Christ. Come to Christ if you want more. If you're happy where you are, then that's fine. But we just talked about, and Ricardo brought it up, he wants to give us more. He wants to bless us, amen? All right, we're ready to go. You know, when I was asked to come and speak, I said April 1st. Oh man, that means full joke. But one thing I promised God many years ago, that when He calls me, I'm gonna respond, even though I don't feel I'm worthy, or I'm not the best speaker in the world, but it's not me. If it's about me, then we're here for the wrong reason. It's not going to be about me, it's going to be about Him. Amen? I tell my wife, Jelena, she knows when I say I got to go to the mountain. I have to go to the mountain, find out what God wants me to tell His people. And she knows what that means. We're ready, guys? Is the other one? All right. Getting used to the little clicker here. This little thing goes around the ear, doesn't work too well. I don't know if my ear is too big or too small. It's not working. So why? Because of more. As we look at these products up here, you know, it's interesting because I don't know, most guys don't like shopping, and I fall into the category. Yesterday I had a day off, and I spent it with my wife, Jelena, and of course, I mean, she has a doctor's degree in shopping. That's what she loves to do. So I went with her, and I went to Fry's, and as I was thinking about the message this morning, I thought about, you know, products that we find, and I looked through it. We went through every aisle. I told her, make a list so we don't have to go every aisle. And she's like, well, you know, that's how I remember when I go through the aisle. Oh, I need that. I need that. So I was trying to find items that would advertise more. Because I know if I'm going to get an item that's got more for the same price, I'm going to buy it. Aren't you? No? I know most people would, right? So here we see some items that advertise more. You know, 25 feet more. 25% free, 50 more loads, right? Target, you gotta expect more. The only one that I found at the store was this Colgate. 60% off, or 60% more, actually. I was like, wow, that's interesting. I went through the whole Fry's, back and forth, looking at, I don't know if you noticed I was doing that, but I was looking at, see which products would advertise more, and only toothpaste advertised more. Potato chips, Doritos, they didn't say more. They said family size or fun size, right? Because people don't want to gain more weight. You know, I think it's psychological, the marketing they have. You know, your tooth, yeah, you want to have bright, pearly teeth, right? So if you got more toothpaste, that's awesome. But, you know, that's how they work you, right? But the world wants to give you more, right? Sounds pretty good. But then, here we see in John 10:10, that was read so well by Evan. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who's that thief? The enemy, right? Satan. But I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So why did Jesus come? For what? To give us more, right? To give us more. Anybody seen this movie, Moana? You know, you would think that we would be extremely grateful, right? For all the more that Jesus provides and just say thank you, right? Such a wonderful blessing. Instead, most of us neglect to even realize how much God blesses us and that he wants to bless us even more. Now, I thought about this because as I watched this movie, and, you know, I said, why are you watching that movie? Well, somebody said it was good, so I watched it. But I think his name is Maui. I have a friend who I haven't seen for a long time. I don't know if he's here, but John Monaco. Tongan. I said, man, I look just like John Monaco. So he reminded me of him, right? And so we know that the song that he sings is, you know, what can I say except, you're welcome, right? That's what we want God to tell us. We say thank you, and he says, you're welcome. And it's interesting in the movie that, you know, she was upset with him, and he was telling her, you should be thanking me, right? Instead of being upset because I autographed your oar and put my name on there, you should be thanking me, right? The first thing out of her mouth should be what? Thankfulness, right? We should be thankful. I like what some people say, you know, God woke me up this morning, right? It wasn't the alarm clock. I know somebody says that, and it's true, right? He blessed us with another day of life, right? Amen? So what does this world have to give? Because I know that a lot of people love the world and love the things in the world. So the world gives, if you can read the bold, what? Freedom from any dissension or, and this peace is, and can be by man. That's the kind of peace that the world offers, right? When there's no wars going on, there's no conflict, right? When there is no dissension, then you can be at peace. That's what the world offers. But God wants to give us more, doesn't he? So what does God give? The peace I leave with you. Can you read the bold? I do not give. Do not let your hearts. And? Amen. He gives us his peace. Right? He doesn't give as the world gives. And it's interesting that he says, do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. The peace that he gives us casts away all fear. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of what's coming, because you know this world is not going to get better. We see it, right? It's going to get worse. Every day it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But we still can be at peace. No one can take away that peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not about anything but by and with present your request to God and will guard your and your in Christ Jesus. Amen? The peace that passes all understanding is going to guard your hearts and your minds. It's a good combination, because it says in everything, prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Amen? That's the formula. We're to present our request to God. As parents, we know we want to give our children what? A snake? Scorpion? I don't know about scorpions. You know about scorpions here and snakes. Do we want to give that to our children to play with? Oh, here's a scorpion. Go play. No, we want to give them the best, right? We want to give them the best. Do you think God doesn't want to give us the best? I say, if you want more, come to Christ. If you're happy where you are, then yeah, go ahead, go with your life. But if you want more, come to Christ, and he'll give you more. Amen? So why? Because of more, right? Because of more. What does this world have to give? The world gives what? Mercy is an act of to punishment. So instead of going to prison, or instead of the death penalty, you know, you get life in prison, right? What does the judge base that on? It's dependent on what? On things we have done. You know what? It's the first time you did that, the judge will say. So I'm going to have some mercy on you, right? I throw myself at the mercy of the court. And he's going to say, yeah, you know, you've been a good citizen. You haven't gotten in trouble, so you know what? I'm going to have mercy on you. I'm just going to sentence you to a month. I can sentence you to 10 years, but I'm just going to sentence you to a month in jail. That's mercy, right? It's dependent on what we do, right? Do I deserve mercy? It depends what I've done, right, in the past, my history. But what does God give? Grace. God's unmerited favor. Is that more? Do we deserve grace? Do we? We don't deserve grace. But God gives it to us anyway. Amen? Says the law, so that the trespass might, but where sin increased. Amen. You know, we talk about being able to outgive God. We can't outgrace God. We can't, right? God gives us grace. God gives us what we don't deserve, right? We should have been on that cross suffering, right? But he took the punishment for us. Why? Because of more. Because he wants to give us more. Amen? You're thankful for grace? I hope you are, because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for grace. These are the types of love that the world can give. As we look at this list, I thought it was only three, but I looked at, I started researching, and I thought, oh, that's so many, I didn't even know that, right? Eros, which is erotic love. Philia, which is affectionate, brotherly love. That's where Philadelphia comes from, right? Storge, which is familiar love or family. Lotus, playful love, flirting. Mania, obsessive love, jealous. Pragma, which is enduring love, age, mature, developed over time. And this is a hard one, fiatua, which is self-love, okay? You're comfortable in your own skin. You love yourself. Those are all good things, right? Aren't they? For the most part. But God wants to give us more. Amen? So if you're happy with that list and you want to live with that list, that's fine. But God wants to give us what? More. It's interesting, we're studying Peter, and we're talking about that in the lesson this morning. We learn a lot of lessons from Peter. Amen? It's a great man of God. But he struggled, didn't he? Yes or no? Yeah, he denied Christ three times, even though Christ told him he was going to deny him. And it's interesting, we talked about, and Veronica did a great job in the Sabbath school lesson this morning, talk about being fishers of men. I like that. And I think about fishing. I think of the time that I went fishing with a group of, it was just men, right? So it was Joseph with us, Cece's father, Amelia, one of our friends, I think my brother Lewis. All the guys went to this place up north somewhere, and we decided to go fishing, right? So somebody had bought this real fancy bait, right? Listen, this is guaranteed to catch fish. Yeah. We're out there fishing. We can catch anything. We're like, what's going on? We can't catch. This is supposed to be guaranteed to catch fish. And then immediately one of our friends says, oh, I'm just going to put corn on there. Put a corn on there, boom, throw it in there. He caught a fish. You're like, wow, we're using the wrong kind of And that's why I think the comparison was, you know, you're going to be, you were a fisherman of fish. Now you're going to be fishers of men. You got to know what bait to use. Amen? Amen. And I know the Bible talks about blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. Is when you're hungry, right, that you eat, I hope. The brain tells you, right, hey, sends a message to the stomach, hey, it's empty down here. Send some food, right? And we know that the Holy Spirit speaks through us, through our mind, right? He tells us, hey, right now, don't say a word. Not going to help. Or Yelena gets on me sometimes because every time I go to Chicago, most of our family are not in church. And sometimes they say things that, that makes no sense. I said, why couldn't you say anything? I said, well, I wasn't impressed to say anything. I wasn't impressed by the Holy Spirit to say anything, so I'm not going to say anything. When I'm impressed to say something by the Holy Spirit, then I'll say something. It's not the right time. No, Peter knew the right time to go fishing. He knew when the fish were going to bite, right? When they're hungry, right? They're not going to bite all the time. Only when they're hungry, they're going to bite. And we, when we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit will lead us what to say, when to say it, how to say it, what tone to use. Amen? Amen. So here in John 21, it was where Peter gets reinstated, right? He gets brought back. And it's interesting that when he denied the Lord, Jesus told him, when you are converted, I was like, wait a minute, wasn't he already converted? Why would Jesus tell him that? Because he wasn't converted yet. Right? He wasn't yet converted. He said, when you get converted, okay, there's some things you have to work out, okay, then you'll be ready. So it says here, when they, you can read the bold. It's interesting how God works, amen? He thinks about our physical. Not only our mental, emotional, or spiritual. He thinks about our physical. He does. Right? He fed the 5,000. Right? Sometimes you think, you know, the physical is not important. Yeah, God cares about our physical. He cares about our health. So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, son of John. Do you truly love me more than these? And of course, Peter, you know, being outspoken, he was always the first one to speak, right? Though everybody forsake you, Lord, I'll never forsake you. You know me. Yes, Lord, he said. And Jesus said, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John. And he answered, yes, Lord. And Jesus said, what's going on there? You think Jesus believed Peter when he told them that he loved him? Yes or no? See, very interesting, but because they're speaking two different languages. That was the problem. See, Peter is expressing philia love, which is what? Brotherly. Oh, Jesus, you're my friend. You're my brother, right? That's the kind of love he was talking about. But Jesus was expecting what? Agape love, which is different, right? It's a different kind of love. It's a love that originates with God. Amen? They were talking a different language. So God gives us what? Which is? Always selfless, sacrificial, and that's agape love. Amen? It's unconditional love. And you find that in the world? And Joseph just talked about differences don't matter, right? Do they? They don't matter when you're in Christ. But in the world, do they matter? No doubt. They matter. The world judges you. As soon as they see you, they judge you. Still remember a time where I was going to go do missionary work, and we're going out with Souls West, you guys, that group, that young people. And one of the young guys was, yeah, no, you can't go, Jose. I said, what are you talking about? You look intimidating. People are going to be scared when they see you. I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't think I was that intimidating. I mean, am I? It was like a shock for me because I was like, wait a minute, I thought I was a nice guy. I thought I had changed. Maybe my exterior hasn't changed, but my inside has changed. But agape love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't. God's still going to love you. Amen? Amen. It's always giving. You're not thinking about taking. You're thinking about giving. Because the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? It's selfless. You don't think about yourself. Sacrificial. And it's unmerited, just like grace. We don't deserve it, but we get it from God. Amen? Here in Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 1, Chapter 23, Ellen G. White tells us, Christ's love is and flowing like an irrepressible stream. If this love is an abiding principle, it will make itself to all with whom we come in contact. Love is when self is submerged, true love springs forth spontaneously. So can people tell if that agape love is in your heart? Candy? If it's forced, then it's not agape love, right? It should be spontaneous. It should be who we are. Amen? And not that we're not a work in progress, because Peter was a work in progress. But did it give God glory? Did he do wonderful things? Yes or no? Yeah, he did a lot of good things for the church, amen? He was a rock, right? But he made mistakes. He was not without sin, right? And in Romans 5:8 says, but God, in this, while we were still, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love has to be demonstrated. Amen? Yeah, if somebody doesn't show you love, okay, not true love. They're always asking for things, right? Wanting things. That's not true love. That's not agape love, okay? Christ demonstrated that. That he died for us on that cross. And we, you know, we talk about dying, but, I mean, we can't even imagine the torture that he went through, I always say, because it's easy to say, you know, I'll die for you, right? I'll take a bullet for you until it's there, right? Until that moment comes, right? And the thing about Jesus was he had the power, right? He had the power to stop it at any moment. You think about it. That's true love. He could have said, you know what? Hey, send a legion over here. Father, send a legion. Show them where it's at. Show them how it's done. Right? I'm going to put up with this. I'm tired of being spit on. I'm tired of being whipped. Right? But he didn't do that. He stayed on that cross. Amen? And it was his love for us that hung him on that cross. It wasn't those nails. It was his love for us. Because he died for us while we were yet sinners. And some people say, you know what? I can't come to church. I can't until I get my act together, right? I got certain things I got to overcome. You know, I'm still not there where I need to be. Well, you know, it's always talk about the hospital. You know, you don't say, well, you know what? I'm dying. I have pneumonia, but I'm going to wait till I get well before I go to the hospital. Does that make sense? No. The people are in the hospital because they're sick. They need a doctor, right? And I would say, I come to church because I consider myself the chief of sinners. I consider myself the worst of the worst. And I need some help. I need some help, Jesus, right? That's what I think about myself, right? Well, what does Jesus say? He tells me something different. Jose, hey, don't forget, I died for you. Well, you were a sinner. I died for you, right? And I'm going to help you. Because we know the sanctification process is a work of a lifetime. Amen? What does the world give? It says here in 2 Timothy 3, 1-4, says this also, that perilous times shall come, for man shall be. Lovers of God. The me generation, right? It's all about me. How many selfies can I take? Matter of fact, let me get a long stick so I can get a different angle on my selfies. But people are lovers of pleasure. They're lovers of themselves. Is there anything wrong with loving yourself? Yes or no? No. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself. Is there anything wrong with loving pleasure? No. But what we understand is where do you put pleasure, right? Where do you put yourself? I always say before I came to Christ, it was me, my family, then my job. And God, somewhere down there, somewhere in the list. When I then came to Christ, he scrambled everything. Because his word says your mind's going to be transformed to something different. Now my mind is God's first, right? My family's second, and everything else below that. He changes your priorities. That's why when you get up Saturday morning and say, should I go to church? Nah, man, Jose's going to speak again. And, you know, he's long and boring. So I think I'll stay home today. I think I'll sleep in. You know, God will understand. God does understand. But God has a limit. Right? We know right now, as we understand prophecy, that we're in the investigative judgment. The books are being opened in heaven, and your name's going to come up sooner or later, right? And when your name comes up, okay, and judgment is meted out, there's no coming back from that. And people say, well, that's kind of cruel. Isn't God grace? Yeah, God is grace. But God is also a God of justice. And how long, we just heard yesterday, the little girl that was abducted many years ago in Tucson, and they found her remains. We're like, how long? How long are you going to allow this to go on? But he's patient. He's waiting, right? He's a God of justice. Even within that act that seems unmerciful, it's a mercy act. If you have an animal that you love and he's suffering, you say, there's no coming back from this. Are you going to let him bleed to death and suffer? Or are you going to put him out of their misery? Say they can't come back. They're just too far gone, right? But it's a me generation. I would say, you know, when you take, if I was to take a good picture, and this is a different view. It's interesting when you're up here, how you can see things differently. You actually look at people's back of their heads. I'm like, oh, yeah, they have nice hair. Oh, that person's getting bald. What's that? Oh, they forgot to comb their hair. There's a little thing sticking out over here. But from here, you see people's faces. You know, you're able to see a different view. It's amazing. You guys should come up here. But it's a me generation. If I was to take a picture of the congregation right now, and I know because I do it, and I was supposed to make a poster size and put it somewhere, who would be the first person you look at? Huh? Yourself. Oh, I don't. Hey, man, my tie's crooked. What happened? Just like that picture that they put on the directory for the church. I'm like this. I'm like, why did I do that? I should have been straight. I look like an old man. My son and a daughter call me old man. My son more. He calls me old man enough, you know, so I don't hear it. But people are going to be lovers of themselves more than God. But we know that God makes us heirs to the throne. Amen? Let's look at what it says in James 2:5. Listen, my dear brothers. Has not God, those who are in faith and to... Amen. So you may be poor in the eyes of the world. But in the eternal realm, you're rich if you have Christ. But that inheritance, because I know that my mom had some land in Puerto Rico. I was born in Puerto Rico, and she had some land. And she was like, I want to give that land when I die, you know. Like, Mom, don't worry about that. You know, I don't think about those things. But she forgot to, or she neglected to get everything in order, and when she died, you know, that land was like lost, because we don't know who belongs to, but it's out there, right? The inheritance that you can receive here, people can take away. People can take away your money. They can rob you, right? They can take your car, right? That inheritance can be taken away. But this inheritance, the kingdom that he has promised, cannot be taken away. Cannot. And that's going to go to who? Who? To those. What's this right there? I like what you say. Don't take my word for it. Go read it for yourself. That's what God's word says. To those who love him. Do you love him? I know I love my kids, and they sometimes don't realize it, but I do things because I love them. Not because I want to do that. You want to go here? No, I don't want to go there. Oh, please. Okay, I'll go. Right? Love. You do things. You give, right? Even though you don't want to. But we are heirs to the throne. We are royalty. Oops. Hit the wrong button there. Here's what Ellen G. White says in early writings, chapter 4. God's love for his people. I love this because, you know, I always think about all the loved ones that have passed away. And I think about, you know, I miss them. You know, and I thought about putting their picture up there. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to reflect on them and think about how much I miss them, you know, how much I miss them. But we know that if they died in Christ, their destiny is assured, right? But here in Ellen G. White, early writings, chapter 4, God's love for his people says, the Lord of you, wings and an angel from the city to a place that was, the grass of that place was, and the birds were warbled. The inhabitants of that place, majestic, they bore the express, and I begged of my attending angel in that place. I could not to this dark world again. Then the angel said, and if you are, you will have a visiting and viewing. Amen. That's an amazing passage. You know, I planted grass in my backyard, and if you go there now, there's only dirt. It's a dust bowl. But it says there, living green. That's how the grass was, living green. It was bright and glorious. It was lovely. It's a majestic place. And Ellen G. White thought about, man, I should stay up here. I want to stay up here. Well, the angel told him, no, you got to go back, right? You got to go back because your job is not done. Your job is not done down there. I know my mom, when she was, I always talk about mom, but that's, when she was really sick, she would say, you know, I want to die. Call me Raymond. I want to die, Raymond. There's too much suffering down here. And I thought about, what can I tell her? I can't relate to what she's going through. You know what it is, a tremble. I have the shakes all day long. That's just one of the things she had. You know, I got a twitch in my eye. I'm like, oh, man, come on, go away already for a second or two. I can't relate to her pain because I never went through it. But the only thing I could tell her, Mom, your job's not done. God has a plan for you here still. And Ellen G. White was told the same thing. You must go back. You will have the privilege of visiting. And I always think about being able to fly, you know. Joseph brought the story of the bird that flew, but let's think about the bird, how they fly, how majestic they look, and how amazing it would be to fly, you know. But we're going to have the privilege of visiting all the worlds and viewing the handiwork of God. Amen? Because, you know, a creator, it's like if you're a painter, you don't just paint one picture and say, I'm a painter. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it? If you're a painter, you're going to have multiple paintings. So, in my mind, hey, it makes sense. There has to be other worlds God has created. We can't be the only ones. Amen? God is a creator. That's what he does. And he wants to give us more. So what does God give? It says, let us, we profess, for he who promised, amen, Hebrews 10:23. You know, I'll never live it down because the kids always bring it up. Not always, but sometimes. Like, remember, Dad, remember that time you said you were going to make us a little house in the backyard, a playhouse? And I said, yeah. Don't bring that up again. My motives were good. I wanted to build them a house. But then when I looked up how much it would cost, I was like, I shouldn't have said that. I can't afford to make you a house, right? Sometimes we promise things that we can't fulfill those promises. Maybe we have good intentions, right? But we know that God is what? Faithful. If he promises something, he'll always come through. So why? Why? Because of more. He wants to give us more. He's faithful. What does the world give us? I know this term is used still, but YOLO, right? What does that mean? Huh? We gotta have some young people in here. What does YOLO mean? You only live once. That's what the world tells you, right? You only live once. You better have some fun, okay? You better go on a cruise, get on a roller coaster, ride those four-wheelers, you know, go dancing, you know, try to get a mansion if you can. You know, a yacht would be nice. Get some gold, because that always goes up in value. You know, get drink whatever you want. Have fun in the water, right? Jump up and down. And I like the one right here. Because you know why? Because Joseph had a car just like that when he was little. And he would ride it, pedal it, you know, and had a little door, and Delisa would sit next to him. He'd be using his feet to move. And the person in that, the little kid in that little cart, right, he's living his life, right? Taking a big risk because, you know, police are chasing him. He's like, I don't care. You only live once, right? And obviously, you know, the party at the end over here, right? So are there pleasures in this world? There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, I don't think. I've gone on a roller coaster. I used to love roller coasters. I used to go to Grand America, Marriott's Grand America, and the first thing you used to do is run, you know, through the door and go to the newest ride because I knew that was going to be the longest line. So, let's go, come on. You got to get on that roller coaster. And now it's like I get on it, I'm like, ugh, I don't know if it's that fun anymore. I guess, you know, you get more matured, it's not, it doesn't feel the same, right? But all these things are good in themselves. But do we only live once? Do we? Because if we do, I'm wasting my time up here. I might as well go out there and have some fun, man. You know? There's garage sales going on. That's where you get the best deals. You know? You get great deals at garage sales. And then, you know, I can go to class on Saturday and make extra money. You know, there's a lot of professional development that goes on Saturdays. In school districts, and they always invite me, Jose, $30 an hour. I'm like, yeah. You know how much, how long that $30 an hour is going to last? Not very long. Right? Not very long. I'm not thinking about this life, okay? I'm thinking about the life to come. Amen? God gives us eternal life. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto that you have, and that you may believe on the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. He wrote these things so that we may know. Do you know that you have eternal life? Yes? You can tell people, yeah, because Christ lives in me, I have eternal life. You have YOLO, I have eternal life. 78 years of life, eternity. Make the comparison. Most people, I always say I want to live to 100, you know, if I can last that long and stay healthy, but what's 100 years compared to eternity? Huh? Is there a comparison? There isn't. Because we have nothing to compare it to. You know, the Bible says, right, no ear has heard, right? What God has prepared for who? Everybody? For who? Those who love him. It's not for everybody. If you don't love Jesus, yeah, go ahead. Keep doing your own thing. Right? Jesus loves you enough to give you free choice. He's not going to take that away. They can't be loved. Right? But if you love Jesus more and you want to be with him for eternity, right, then you'll choose him because he's going to give you more. Life is good, but eternal life is what? Way better. Way better. You don't have to look at the clock and say, okay, Jose, you're going over, man. You better cut it short because getting hungry here. So cut it short. We got to go eat, right? Not going to happen in heaven, right? There's going to be no clocks up there. There's going to be no time. There isn't. Oh, I got to be at work. I got to go to school. There's no such thing. So, do you want more? Or are you content with what this world has to give? That's a personal choice, right? Personal choice. But if you want more, I invite you to surrender your heart to Christ. Allow him to come in and fill you. And then you'll see. You'll know that he does give you more. Right? This world is limited as far as what it gives you. Who do you love more? My kids asked me that question one time, and I think I said this before, but Jaleesa and Joseph, hey, so Dad, if Joseph and I, or Jaleesa and I were drowning, who would you save first? You could only save one. They always give you that story. Like, well, that's what if. Yeah, but who would you save? And I've said this many times, and I'll continue to say it, right? Because I love them the same. They have different personalities. They have different likes and dislikes. But I love them the same. So I would die saving them both. I would. I say, I'll give my life, right? And I'll say, I'll try to save you both. Even if I can't, I'll try to save you both. I can't choose, right? God wants to save everyone. He does. But are you willing to love him more? More than your job? More than your parents? More than your kids? So the Bible says, anyone who loves them more than me is not worthy of me. Because you know what happens? When you love him more, everything falls into place. It's amazing how it works. I don't know if it's happened to you guys, but it's amazing how everything falls into place. God makes things fall into place when you love him more. When you love other things more, no, things don't go right. You know, that's what happened in heaven. Lucifer wanted to change the order of things. He said, you know what? Oh, he got the Father's first, and so is Jesus, and so is the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to be up there too. Even though I'm, you know, down here, I want to change the order. I want to be first, you know. And he influenced a lot of angels to come down, right? They were thrown down out of heaven. But that was his mistake. He wanted to change the order. And God already established the order. Him being all-knowing, the Father knows best, right? He established the order. When you go against that order, things don't work out right. Because you're not in harmony, right, with God who established the order. And so who do you love more? It says here, love not, neither the things. If any man, the love of the Father. That's found in 1 John 2:15. Anyone who loves his father or mother is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter is not worthy of me. It doesn't mean you can't love them, but you can't love them more. Because if you do, your priorities are not right. Now, I've heard people say, you know, when my daughter comes to church, then I'll come to church. When my son comes to church, then when my spouse comes to church, I'll come to church. When they give their hearts to Christ, I will come to Christ. What is that message saying? To me, you're saying, God doesn't have the power to reach that person unless, you know, you do something or you don't do something. It's amazing how many people come to Christ with you. When you come to Christ, they're like, wait a minute, this person's different. They're not the same people that they used to be. And they say, I want that. I want to be able to sit in a place where it's chaos and I'm at peace. I want to have the joy that nobody can take away, because people can take your happiness. Right now, if I go outside and I find my car, like, oh, somebody stole my car. Oh. They took away my happiness. I got to walk home. Unless somebody gives me a ride. But they can't take this joy that God puts in us. Amen? We can be joyful even in the midst of trials and tribulations. But we have to love him more. Amen? Remember this movie, right? Hacksaw Ridge. This was his, you know, his saying. And that was probably the climax of the movie as I saw it. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Because he said, please, Lord, help me get just Just one more. He didn't care about his life, right? He had that agape love. He said, let me get just one more. God, help me. Help me reach one more. That should be our motto. Because I always say we're in the life, in the business of saving lives for eternity. You know, when you're you're MT and you work in an ambulance, you're saving lives. You know, it's an emergency, boom, you go there and you... But that's only this life. We're in the business of saving lives for eternity. Right? The EMT is not the one who saves the person. It's what they bring with them, right? They bring medicine. They bring whatever they bring. And they patch them up. It's not because they're there. Hey, I'm here. Now you're saved. No. Right? And when we present the gospel to someone, it's not us. God's using us. But we present the gospel, right? Here's the gospel. Here's what Jesus says, right? That's what God says. You go, you make the decision. You know, I'll support you. I'll be there for you. But this is what God says. So why? Because Jesus loves you and me more. That's why.